Committee on Natural Resources will come to order, please. The committee is meeting this morning to conduct a hearing on H.R. 1358, the Burt Lake Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians Reaffirmation Act, introduced by our colleague, Mr. Tupac of Michigan, H.R. 3084, the Chinook Nation Restoration Act, introduced by our colleague, Mr. Brian Barrett of Washington, H.R. 2678, the Duwamish Tribal Recognition Act, introduced by our colleague, Mr. Jim McDermott of Washington, and H.R. 3120, the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians Restoration Act of 09, introduced by our colleague, Mr. Reberg of Montana. The Indian tribes represented in these bills have all been part of treaty negotiations with the United States and have had several other interactions with local, state, tribal, and the federal government over the years. Despite this, they currently lack a government-to-government relationship with the federal government. As a result, in the late 1970s and mid-1980s, these tribes petitioned for federal recognition through the Department of Interior's 1978 federal acknowledgement process. The federal recognition process is like trying to solve a giant, antiquated puzzle with pieces scattered throughout a state and, in some cases, several states. A failure to find just a few of these pieces of the puzzle may disqualify you from being acknowledged, even though it is obvious that what the overall puzzle picture is. This is the case with three of the tribes before us today, the Burt Lake, Duwamish, and Chinook. And while the Little Shell was successful in obtaining a positive proposed finding, they have been waiting since 2000 to receive their final determination. This process needs reform, and the stories you will hear today from these four tribes who have collectively spent nearly 100 years in the acknowledgement process highlight this fact. I've made clear numerous times my belief that this process is broken and that the process is unfair. Led by our colleague, Mr. Fallon Bavoyga, legislation will soon be introduced to fix the process. In the meantime, I will continue to exercise our congressional right to bring recognition bills before this committee for consideration. After all, Congress has recognized the vast majority of the 563 federal recognized Indian tribes. I commend each tribe before us this morning for their dogged determination to continue to fight for their right of federal recognition, and I look forward to their testimony. Before recognizing our colleagues, I'll recognize the ranking minority member, Mr. Hastings, for his comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The tribes that would be recognized under the four bills before us today have the distinction of having been recognized by political appointees in the waning days of the Clinton administration. It appears these decisions were contrary to the recommendations of the anthropologists, historians, and genealogists in the Bureau of Indian Affairs that analyzed their documented petitions. Because of the troubling nature of these actions, which were investigated by Inspector General of the Department of Interior, the decisions of three of the petitions were later reversed, while one of the petitions is still undetermined. Three of the tribes that were denied recognition under the BIA process failed to meet three of the seven mandatory criteria established under federal rules. It is unclear how the fourth tribe received a positive recommendation when the Inspector General's report noted that professional staff recommended a denial of its petition. Mr. Chairman, the events I just described beg the question. If the Natural Resources Committee does not require these groups to meet all seven of the BIA's mandatory criteria to attain recognition, then what criteria or standards is the committee requiring the groups to meet? Is it four criteria, one criterion? Do we have any criteria at all? These are not unreasonable questions. In fact, I was asking these questions when the committee and the full House were considering other recognition bills this year. But as of yet, there are no established standards that I'm aware of. So, Mr. Chairman, I respectfully suggest that before further action occurs on any recognition bill, the committee deliberate over this issue very, very seriously. It is a fundamental issue of responsibility and fairness for this committee to consider recognition bills in a deliberate and careful manner that clearly articulates the criteria under which recognition is to be established. Furthermore, fairness dictates that this committee respectively consider the views of long-recognized tribes whose treaty rights may be affected by congressional recognition decisions. Without question, one criteria for consideration for recognition action by this committee should be consulting with recognized tribes regarding their treaty rights. It is not a matter of granting veto power to existing tribes over new recognition, but it's a matter of this committee exercising proper respect for the rights of treaty tribes. And Mr. Chairman, it's for this reason that I requested that our committee hear from witnesses representing the Quinault tribe, one witness representing the Muckleshoot, Tulalip, and the Puyallup tribes. The committee must be very cautious. The Congress should not act hastily when treaty rights of existing recognized tribes could be affected or even challenged. And with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you for the time, and I look forward to hearing from the testimony of today's witnesses.
I recognize the gentleman from Michigan, Mr. Kildee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm here today because I have been a seeker after justice for all people, but for 44 years now I've been a seeker after justice for our Native Americans. I'm very happy that Mr. Stupak has introduced his bill. He understands this situation perhaps better than anyone else in the state, the Burt Lake Band. He will tell the story of that, but my father can recall one of the most dastardly things took place against the Burt Lake Band in his lifetime. And the reason I got involved in Indian matters in the state legislature, introduced two bills for Indians, one the Indian Tuition Waiver Act, where any Michigan Indian can attend public college and the state pays the tuition. I and Jackie Vaughn introduced that bill. Was because my dad told me about Burt Lake particularly, but he told me that the Indians have been treated unjustly. And I think we have an opportunity to remedy that injustice. And Mr. Stupak has facts that I think will lead us to that conclusion. And I yield back, Mr. Chairman.
General Lady from California, Ms. Napolitano, and congratulations on your performance last night, I understand, in the softball game.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do you yield back?
Almost. thank you. Thank you for holding this very important hearing on Indian tribal water rights and other rights that have been so long neglected and ignored. Sitting in the subcommittee now for, full committee and then subcommittee for almost 11 and a half years, I've heard, seen some of the things that my colleague and great champion, Mr. Kildee, has talked about. And while maybe there are some extenuating circumstances in some of the tribal issues with the federal government, that should not preclude us from looking at the value of being able to assist tribes in many areas to be able to help themselves, especially when it comes to water. So with that, Mr. Chair, thank you much, and thank you for recognizing that a bunch of unexperienced, I don't know how else would I put it, went out and had a ball last night. Literally.